Green Mountain Chronicles number 30. Number, please. The telephone comes to Vermont.
Hello.
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 Hello. Her voice with music rings. It's sweeter than the whippoorwill that in the woods.
I remember the first telephone that my father helped to sting the lion so that we could have the telephone. And I remember seeing my mother, my grandmother, go up beside the wall and turn this crank and call the operator. It was a box thing with the bells on the top and the crank at the side that you turn.
1905, and in Woodbury, Vermont, 10-year-old Bernice Wheeler's family gets its first telephone. Alexander Graham Bell's 1874 invention began linking Vermonters by wire in 1879 with 168 Burlington subscribers. In the first decade of the 20th century, New England Telephone had 12 to 15 local offices in Vermont. Much of Vermont's early phone service, however, came from small, locally organized, independent phone companies.
Vermont at that time was quite a farming state, and they had heard about these telephones, so they would cut a few poles or string the wire on trees. And
Paul Tyler of Barry worked as a linesman and in other capacities for New England Telephone for 39 years.
They made their own system. There really wasn't much of a switchboard. All it was almost like a continuous line with switches where they would throw the switch to connect on to the other people, which may not have been more than 50 people that had telephones.
Every day at 12:30, you'd hear this one long ring and one short ring.
George Sibley's family also had an early telephone at its East Montpelier farm.
Of course, in those days, there was party lines that might be anywhere from one to a dozen, I guess, in some cases. But the signal was that the telephone company was going to give the weather. Everybody run to the telephone at 12:30 and get the weather. Yeah.
Party line served other, less formal functions as well, as longtime operator Ruth McKenzie of Barry recalls.
If you were on a rural line and there were six or eight people on your line, you'd hear at least four of those numbers ring at your house. And the rumor is that people used to pick up their telephones just to hear what was going on. If it was something interesting, they'd stay.
Well, that was a good way of getting the news. And sometimes if somebody was on there very long, there were the old wall phones. They would take the receiver and put it against the mouthpiece, and it used to make quite a noise, and they couldn't really have a clear conversation. So they may not like it, but if one held the receiver to the close to the transmitter, they would finally get off the line.
At the hub of each system, the operators were kept busy working the manually operated switchboards.
You answered the signal, it would be a light, and whatever number, if it was a Barry number that person wanted, you said, number please, and he gave you a number like 246, perhaps. And you had to find that in what we called the multiple. You had to reach to wherever it was, test it to be sure it wasn't busy. Put your plug in and ring. And, of course, your association with the customer was very much more personal than it is now. Because after a while, you knew who a lot of those people were because you knew their telephone numbers.
Ruth McKenzie began working for the phone company in 1922. Later, she began training people in the use of the new dial phones, which were replacing the manually cranked boxes.
We went around to schools, rotary clubs, women's clubs, anywhere that they wanted us to play records on a recording machine with dial tone and busy signal, so they would know what it was going to sound like when they dialed. Today, that just seems incredible.